The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." The Gospel of the Lord. So, happy birthday. It is Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the birth of the Church, and wow, what a celebration it was on that day. Why not celebrate it with life and energy today? It was a very powerful experience on that day. Listen to what it says. They were all together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. What an interesting perspective, the role of the Holy Spirit and how he comes to us. How many of you have a preference in prayer in terms of responding to God, praying to the Father? Hands up. How many of you tend toward praying to the Father? And Jesus, how many of you? And the Holy Spirit. And the rest of you, you pray to God and whichever one shows up, right? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, you're happy. You celebrate kind of the unity, the union of God, and just pray to God without distinguishing. But there's certainly a value in distinguishing and understanding the specific role and nature of God, although it is just one God and an absolute unity. But what an interesting experience this Pentecost was for them, being fearful and terrified and wondering. And while he had told them many times he was going to give them this gift, they couldn't have imagined. Imagine if the same were to happen to us and we heard a great sound outside and we had fears of that during the week with the rain and possible thunder and everything else. But here we are, gathered inside, celebrating, and praying for a, that might be the rumble, waiting for the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Imagine if it happened in our place, and then you saw tongues coming over the heads of people, that gift of the Holy Spirit. Would you be worried? Yeah? You betcha. Would you be afraid? Sure, the presence of God. I'm sure they were fearful, but they were relieved and grateful at the same time because now this promise was coming to them, and it sure was a transforming promise. I'm sure the apostles were intensely grateful, but also scared and definitely grateful. A fear and trepidation, and now it was being overcome by this movement of the gift. Remember last week what was said in the Acts of the Apostles, the opening chapter? Jesus enjoined them. He enjoined them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. How important that is. Waiting for that gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you still waiting? And when are you going to receive it? And it's true not just for each of us as individuals, but true for all of us collectively as church. I would say over the years, many of the movements in the church moved from Jerusalem without awaiting the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a lot of movement in the church without that power. But he was very clear, wait to receive this before you begin to proclaim the kingdom. Receive this gift that I am giving you. Because of your own volition, you cannot attain the mission of the kingdom of God without this gift. It wasn't a matter just of the church being born or formed. It was a matter also, which is really important, a nice little detail. It was a matter of the Hebrew scriptures being fulfilled. The great gift of Pentecost was a restoration of the lost unity. The lost unity that is spoken of way back in the first book of the Bible. The disunity and confusion that was there. Remember the story in chapter 11 of Genesis, the Tower of Babel. Remember that? What was that about? Well, here's what it says in Genesis chapter 11. The whole world spoke the same language, using the same words. And while men were migrating in the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire. And they used the bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered all over the world. This is the opening part of a relationship with God. And what the people were saying is, we can make our own way there. Let's build and get high up into the heavens. It was a pretty novel idea. A little new engineering feat. But what we find is it certainly wasn't God's plan. And it's clear that Pentecost is a declaration that God's plan is now coming into view for his people. The way to God is through faith in Jesus Christ, and he has given us the gift to do that. Simply of our own being, we cannot do it. But with the gift of his Spirit, his parting gift to all of his followers, we can live in him. A hermit in the desert, way back in Egypt in the early days, says, the heart directs and governs all of the organs of the body. An interesting perspective. The heart governs everything. And he said, and when grace pastures the heart, it rules over the members and the thoughts. For there in the heart the mind abides, as well as all of the thoughts of the soul and its hopes. This is how grace penetrates throughout the whole body. What he was saying is that the heart is the place that a person's spirit and the Spirit of God exists together. The heart, not the head, the heart. The mind, which is the source of rational thought, and we men, we're pretty attached to that, right? We love knowledge. That's why faith becomes challenging to us. We love knowledge, we love to figure it out, we love to know what's coming and how it's going to be accomplished. But what the hermit was saying is, the mind is the source of rational thought, but it's only made complete when it abides in the heart. And although our mind is an essential part of who we are at our best when our minds and hearts are at one. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, bringing unity in those realities. This is what makes the body of Christ at one as well. It provides us the perfect communion with Jesus, which he is offering to us. And just as the Tower of Babel represented the people's thoughts on how they might reach God, the story goes on to say, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men had built. Then the Lord said, if now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. I'm not sure that God just traveled on down and said, wow, let me check that out. God could quite easily check it out from where he was, but the people got the message. This is not how God wants us to be. God has a plan for us. And so Pentecost was coming into view of what God's plan would be, that we would receive his gift that would enable us to live this life. But that is most fully established in the birth of his Son in our world, who lives among us and teaches us all things and teaches us about the Father. When he prepares to depart this world, having completed his mission, he doesn't abandon us. He makes it very clear and promises us the gift that will enable us to live while he has returned to the Father. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The advocate, I like that term. The advocate that is used in today's gospel. We all know what an advocate is, yes? An advocate, one who pleads our cause, one who stands beside us, one who supports and comforts us in times of need, one who speaks on our behalf when we cannot speak or when we choose not to speak, one who gives us sound advice and direction. It is clear to see that the power and influence of the Holy Spirit in the beginning of the church was pretty powerful. And it is the only explanation why it has endured through all of its trials and struggles and difficulties. That power of the Holy Spirit. It's clear to the difference that it made to Mary and the 11 in the upper room. If he would do it for them, why would he not do it for us? Why would he not pour out again that power of his Holy Spirit on the church when it so needs it? It is his promise. Would he not be faithful to his promise? And so let us pray in this Eucharist that he will pour out his Spirit anew upon us, upon each of us as individuals and all of us as community, that we may experience that sense of church. And that he will remove any obstacles in my life that would prevent me from receiving his abundance. Happy birthday. Thank you.